Welcome. I'm Jeffrey Sachs, the editor of Tradition. And welcome to the... That alone is not deserving of applause. And welcome to the second Tradition Today Summit, which is being convened with our friends and partners at the Israeli Graduate School of Yeshiva University. That does deserve applause. I'm particularly grateful to my friend and colleague, Dean Michael Berger, Rabbi Dr. Dean Michael Berger of Azrieli, for really initiating this partnership and for bringing us together to sit and think and read and learn together and to produce these papers, which will undergo substantive revision as part of the process of discussion today and will appear in an upcoming issue of Tradition. We're grateful to the Rothman family for their support of this, of today's program, and for the journal that will come out and their partnership with everything we do both at Azrieli and, of course, at the Rabbinical Council of America, the publisher of Tradition. That was Mark applauding. I'm particularly grateful to my old dear chaver, Harav Menachem Penner, some of us remember him as Mark, for his leadership of our organization, of the RCA, for his revitalization of everything we do. There's materials in the back about all the new initiatives that the RCA is doing, of course the most significant one of which is for nearly seven decades publishing Tradition, the premier journal of Orthodox Jewish thought, which when it was founded in 1958 by Rabbi Lam was the only journal, the only platform for Orthodox Jewish thought. And although we today live in a very crowded media market, even within our own specific religious community, nevertheless, we really do believe that the work that we're doing at Tradition continues to be vital for our community, continues to help shape and inform who we are as modern Orthodoxy, as thinking religious beings, in the phrase of my distinguished predecessor, Rabbi Shalom Carmi. Tradition is not an academic journal. I'm always careful to say that Tradition is a scholarly journal. And there's a fine distinction which we could talk about at another time. Tradition is and always has been aiming to inform and shape the life of a community, not just within an ivory tower, not just academics talking amongst themselves and arguing in footnotes with one another, but to be part of the larger conversation that's meant to raise and deepen and sharpen the questions that we think about in our religious life. And the opportunity to have these types of events and to generate content which will then filter out into the community and which will then serve as the basis for other people to write and respond and to use all the new media that we've been branching out into, social media and podcasts, and the opportunity for rabbis and school leaders to take the papers that we'll publish and to use them in their synagogues, in their faculty rooms, to is only part of the ripples that will come from the stones that we will throw today. Now, the stones that will be thrown today are not stones at each other, although we do hope there will be lively discussion. As we wrote to all of you, we circulated the papers in advance with the idea that, of course, well, you know, you're all school people, so you know what homework is. I assume that means somebody fed the papers into AI and got a one-page summary of everything. But the idea is that we've read the papers, and we've come informed, and we're here to share our ideas and our responses and our opinions to the presenters, who will speak only but briefly, and then we will engage in discussion around this room. And that discussion, as well as any other feedback that you have for the authors, and we'll share with them afterwards, by phone, by email, by carrier pigeon, we'll sharpen these papers and we'll aid the authors in their revising and thickening in advance of publication. When I became editor of Tradition, it was important to me that we focus and bring more attention than we have in the past to education. This has to do with work that I've done in my day job for many years at Atid in Jerusalem, my own professional and intellectual commitments, but it is also a mark of the fact that we really do believe, and I'm certain that each and every one of you agree with me, that Jewish education is also a subject of Jewish thought. Now, I needn't tell you that there are myriad problems, myriad challenges facing Jewish education. Of course, affordability is always utmost in our mind. It's a very practical, important, immediate concern. And if it won't be solved, so then the rest of our conversation is really mute. But we're not talking about that. We're not even talking about specific techniques of pedagogy, which are the proper subject of all types of other conferences. We're here interested in chinuch as a subject of Jewish thought. It's not to the exclusion of those other issues, and God knows it's not to the exclusion of the many, many other challenges facing the Jewish people at large, both here and back home in Israel. And we should just obviously take note of that and events that are going on around the world, here in the United States, New York City, etc. As I said, we're very grateful to the RCA for its leadership, for its leadership, and for its publishing, and for its guidance of everything that they're doing across the rabbinate in North America and the world, and in the communities that are served by those rabbis. But we're particularly grateful to their ongoing support of tradition. So for a few words of welcome, I'm pleased to turn the microphone to Rabbi Eitan Tokayer, who comes with the credentials of being a longtime faculty member at the Yeshiva Flatbush High School, longtime rabbi at the Kingsway Jewish Center, and at the moment, the president of the RCA. Rabbi Tokayer.
For those of you who are wondering who that lone clap was, it's my assistant rabbi, Rabbi Mordechai Shiffman. Associate Rabbi Mordechai Shiffman. My name is Eitan Tokayer. I'm the president of the RCA. I am a Rebbe at Yeshiva Flatbush Joel Braverman High School. Many years ago, I taught here in Teaneck at the Torah Academy of Bergen County, the rabbi of Kingsway Jewish Center. But primarily, of all those things, the identity that is most important for me today is that I'm a thinking Jewish person who also has children and who's concerned about the future of the Jewish people. There is a story which is told, you might have heard it, about a fellow who was an expert child psychologist with an expertise in education, loves children, and one day he had his driveway and the sidewalk in front of his house laid with a new sidewalk. Anyway, as kids are, they started playing and drawing their doodles and their initials in the pavement. And he walks out of his home and he sees what's going on. He starts yelling and screaming and shooing them away. And his wife says to him, "I don't understand. You're an expert in your field. You love children. How do you behave like this?" And he says, "It's true that I love children, but I love children in the abstract, not in the concrete." Thank you. And it is particularly for a few reasons that I'm very excited to be here today and for this convening of this conference. Number one, on a personal level, the band is back together. I have the joy of being able to work with Rav Menachem Penner, the Executive Vice President of the RCA, with Rabbi Jeffrey Sachs. The three of us have a relationship that goes back 40-plus years to high school, and although our paths have not entirely diverged, but this is an opportunity for us to really work again together in a close way, and that is a joy for me. There are There are presenters today that were Talmidim and now are Rabbeim, not limited to, but most directly, Rabbi Yehuda Turetsky. I had the privilege of teaching him as a student at TABC. But primarily, it's because of this conference and this summit, not just being abstract, but also being concrete. And that is, as Rabbi Sachs pointed out, extraordinarily important. What happens here should have an impact out there. To put a bookend on what's going to happen this evening, I would like to respond for 30 seconds to a question that Rabbi J.J. Schachter posed, which is, what can be done to make a case for submission to tradition with a capital T? Which I thought he meant tradition, the journal. But what can be done? And I think the answer to that question is something which is so timely and so important at this particular moment. I was reading through Rabbi Gottlieb's paper on Rabbi Wolbe, and I was reminded of a story. Not just a few month and a half ago, Rabbi Wolbe's grandson, Rabbi Yaakov Wolbe from Houston, the Torch organization in Houston, was a scholar in residence in my shul. And he told the story of his great-grandfather, Rabbi Wolbe's father, Eugene Wolbe. And Eugene Wolbe was a philologist. He was a scholar of note in Berlin. And he wrote a book on the history, or a paper on the history of the Jews in Berlin. And I went online to find this paper, and it was written, of course, in German. So if you can trust ChatGPT's translation, there are a few salient points in this little book, which his great-grandson, Rabbi Yaakov Wolbe, shared as well. And that is that Eugene Wolbe was not a particularly religious man. In fact, he didn't want his son, Rabbi Shlomo Wolbe, who would become Rabbi Shlomo Wolbe, he didn't really want him involved in very serious Jewish learning. So his identity was really primarily as a German. In the 1930s, he published this book on the history of Jews in Berlin, and he writes that we Jews, not they, we Jews made a mistake. And the mistake that we made was abandoning and jettisoning our Jewish identity. And we thought some 40 years ago or 50 years ago in the 1870s, 1880s, we thought that by adopting a patriotic German national identity, we would gain acceptance. But we, in fact, were wrong. And the shuls now in the 1930s are packed. But not for the right reasons, or not for the best of reasons, I should say. The Netziv, in his commentary at the beginning of Parshas Shmos, points out that when anti-Semitism rises when Jews, and he's writing this significantly before the Shoah, when Jews try to pass, in essence is what he says, when Jews try to become like the society around them, and give up and dilute their Jewish identity. It's counterintuitive, but it's in fact true that when Jews hope to pass, they cannot. And given the new realities that we face primarily here in New York, but with ripples across the country, I can think of no more of a timely, important topic than today's summit, which is about educating our children to be Ovdei Hashem in a modern world. Not how to become more like the modern world, but to how to become our identity in that modern world. So I would add to Rabbi J.J.'s paper about how Jewish history impacts Jewish education, this moment of Jewish history should no doubt inform Jewish education. Today is important because it is not simply people coming together to speak in the abstract, but of the impact that these thoughts and these ideas can have in the concrete. So I want to thank Rabbi Sachs and the partnership with Azrieli Yeshiva University for today's summit. I want to acknowledge, he's not here yet, I don't believe, Rabbi Binyamin Blau, under whose leadership the first tradition summit was convened. Again, Azrieli School Dean Michael Berger, the entire steering committee, Henry, and Gold Arena Rothman and family for enabling this partnership, as well as other educational support at the RCA for Gairus and other things. I want to acknowledge and thank Rabbi Ari Berman, the president of Yeshiva University, for his vision and his inspired leadership, bringing YU to new heights every single day. On a personal level, my son is an 11th grader at MTA. I have another son who just went to the open house last night for MTA. I have a daughter who's doing Sherut Leumi this year, living in YU housing in Yerushalayim. And so our debt of gratitude is deep. Rabbi Berman's leadership is making YU's impact in the community and in the world at large, not just something in the abstract, but most certainly in the concrete. And it is my honor and pleasure to introduce President Rabbi Dr. Ari Berman.
Thank you so much, Rabbi Toker. Mazal Tov on this wonderful position at the RCA. And we look forward to your continued leadership and partnership. It really is a great bracha for me to be here with you, my colleagues and friends, many who I also have gone to from high school to Morasha. How many people have they gone to Morasha with here? A lot of Morasha people. And to be around Chavarim at a time that is most urgent for us to gather together in this discussion. It's really my zchus, my privilege, to be with my dear friend and partner, Rabbi Menachem Penner, his incredible work at the RCA after continuing his leadership in our community in so many ways, with our dean, Michael Berger. We're so excited about where Azrieli is going under his leadership and the opportunities that are ahead of us. And always just a humbling pleasure and honor to be in the presence of Rebbe Umori, Rabbi Dr. Jacob J. Schachter. Thank you so much for being here and for your guidance to our community and to our Torah world. We are certainly at a moment of historic opportunity right now. I can't think of a better topic to talk about than educating our children to be Ovdei Hashem in a modern world. That is exactly what is necessary right now, and education is obviously the key. You know, right from the beginning of the Torah, we meet Tuval Kayin, the person in our tradition who was the first to combine both the best of Hevel and Kayin, Tuval Kayin. And he was the one, the Torah tells us, that forged the instruments that sharpened the tools. And that's exactly what we do as educators. Our students are the finished products, and our role is to sharpen them, to help shape themselves, to discover who they are, and to grow and develop as Ovdei Hashem. We're not just transferring knowledge, we're forming people who will go out into the world and sanctify it through their Torah and their lives. Now, especially today, their mission seems especially urgent. Look around in Israel, in the diaspora, and as we recently learned, right here in New York. We often talk about the challenges of the modern world, and yes, they're real, especially affordability, that I spend a healthy percentage of my waking hours dealing with. But I want to suggest something different, that these same challenges are enormous opportunities. Opportunities for our students and for us to become ambassadors for Torah, to show its beauty, its depth, its relevance in every sphere of life. Traditionally, when we speak about education and educational conferences, we focus on two things. We focus on what to teach, what are the texts that are in the curriculum, and how to teach it. We want our students to know Torah and have the skills to become lifelong leaders. And today, what I want to suggest or submit to this body to add two more dimensions, and in conversations, of course, we've been having before, as two dimensions in which we can, on which we can focus to deepen our work as mechanchim and mechanchot. The first is values and virtues. Drawing from positive psychology, we should be asking, what are the values and virtues that emerge from the Torah that we teach? Our job isn't just to teach the text, it's to form the character of the Oved Hashem. At Yeshiva University, we spend a lot of time thinking about how to teach values explicitly. You know, I've identified five core Torah values, but it's really less about the number or the labels, and more about the enterprise itself, being intentional about forming character through Torah. When Erica Brown, with Dr. Brown, goes to conferences with other universities, what consistently impresses the university world the most about yeshiva is not the curriculum or the schedule, although they are astounded at the schedule, but the fact that we are so deliberate about shaping the kind of person we hope our students will become. For us, Torah is not something we just teach, we live, breathe, we embody. It has values and character that we aspire to transmit. That is the first thing. The second is mission and purpose. How we and our students understand the role of the Jew in the modern world. Is our goal just to survive, to keep mitzvot within the safety of our own cloistered communities? Is that why we're here? Or is our goal to influence, to bring Torah values into the broader society, to shape the world around us? That difference between being here just to protect or being here to project is fundamental. The difference between survival and influence is everything. When our students see themselves as builders and bearers of Torah, it changes the entire tone of their lives. I can't tell you what a blessing I feel that Hashem has put me here and all of you here at this moment that is so energized, where the Jewish people and Israel is on the agenda. Why are we here in the diaspora if not for this moment to be fighting for Israel and fighting for our values and shed light of the bracha, of the blessing that the Jewish people is to our society and to our world? Our students, our balabatim, and the next generation should feel energized, not bewildered by this moment. For this is our moment. This is our time. And how we transmit that over to the next generation to give them confidence, pride, and purpose is a defining, I believe, a defining question for all of us here today. To enable and empower our students to see their education not as a shield from the world, but as a light for the world. So let us cultivate conviction, courage, and compassion, the core traits of the Oved Hashem in every generation, and let us build, bless, and broaden our students to see themselves as the true ambassadors of Torah that they are. With all the challenges that the Jewish community faces, we have enormous opportunities to raise a generation that is thoughtful, resilient, deeply rooted, and forward-focused. A generation that lives its values with strength and grace, a generation that doesn't just live Torah, but leads with Torah. And that is the Ovdei Hashem, which we aspire to raise and grow. It is really a great joy to be here with you, my partners, in this incredible effort. And Bezrat Hashem, Beyachad Ninatzeach.
Thank you, Rabbi Berman.